And I'm Donnie, and I'm very thankful because I have been able to be a part of breaking generational curses. Many of us that are old enough understand about generational curses, amen? We pass it to our daughters. For those that you don't know, this is my blood son. This is my baby that I left when he was a little baby, and God's grace restored us in a relationship. Only by God's grace. But before we go into tonight's topic, we're just going to stop for a minute and just pray over these requests. And then allow the Spirit, if you feel led out to pray and you remember one or two of these, please pray out. And when it's uncomfortable, I will close us. Amen? So let's pray.
Dear Lord, I would just like to pray for my mom, Pauline, as she goes in this week for her radiation and chemo, that you just be with her and keep her strong.
Lord, I ask that you please be with all of those who are silently suffering, whether it be with a mental illness, physical, or simply struggling to find you.
Lord, I just thank you so much for revealing yourself to so many of us here, and showing us your goodness and your love, and showering us with your peace that you give us, and helping us deal with fears and other things. Thank you for your word, that it reassures us and guides us. Thank you for the jobs you've given people and the homes you've given them, and for people who've come alongside them and encouraged us and loved us.
Lord, I'd just like to thank you for answering everybody's prayer and your Father. I just like to pray, Father God, that no weapon formed against that will try to stop anybody's prayer, Father God. For I know that you've already done it. That's why I'm thanking you ahead of time, Father, because you said you have not because we ask not. And I just thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for just answering each and everybody's prayer, Father God. And when we see each other again, we will have praise on our lips, Father God, instead of requests. In your name, Jesus.
Father God, I just ask prayer for the ones out there suffering with drugs and alcohol. I also pray for the ones that are sick. I ask that you put your healing hands on each and every one of them. In your name we pray.
Sinning against you so many ways, Father. You know all the hearts in this room, my Lord. And pray that you have mercy and compassion on us, Father. And you hear our cries and prayers, Father. Be each individual in this room, Father. Pray you be with their families, Father. All those that are in distress, Father, suffering addictions, and their families, families. I pray that you touch us, Father, with your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
And because you hear our prayers, please open our hearts to accept what you're giving us. Open our eyes and our minds to receive it.
Thank you for giving us this family. This family time. Once a week. People that we don't even know. For just an hour of feeling closer to someone that's not even our family, but acts so much better than our family. I appreciate for what I don't see matters, and what I do see doesn't. I know you as well. And whatever it is of love is of you.
Father, just to annoy, or just to know, Lord Jesus, that you know and you hear not only every thought that's held captive right here in prayer mode, Lord, but all, everyone around this world, Lord, you have the ability and you do love us in a way that only you can do. Lord, there's hurts, there's habits, there's hang-ups, Lord, that have been talked about here tonight, Lord. But it all comes back to our faith in you, our trusting in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I am. So, Father, I just pray as we speak for the remainder of this night, Lord, that we remember each and every one of us that had something to be prayed about, that they realize others are praying for them, that we are family, the family of God. And together all God's people said, amen. Wow. Wow. So, preparation for before I come out here to speak or anybody, I pray that whoever does lead one of these out here has the ability to, and knowledge to know that it isn't us. You know, it's not our own strength that does this. This is the grace of God for recovery works. Recovery works. Just since last night at 10 o'clock, I do a homeless ministry in Fort Wayne here, and at about 10:30 last night, I got on my little pajamas and sat in my nothing box, which is my lazy boy chair, and all of a sudden you heard a boom, a big loud boom, and I've heard it before, so I knew what it was. I opened the front door, and someone had hit my brand new 2018 Subaru in front of the house and totaled it right in front of our driveway. Now, the story behind that 2018 Subaru is that I bought another Subaru last year, and it had a recall on the motor. So this Subaru is the fifth one that Subaru has given us since last year to run while they're working through problems. It's totaled. I run outside because you can hear the tires on the other vehicle doing the barking. We're trying to get off the bumpers and, you know, exit location. I get up alongside of him and I said, and he's pulling on the steering wheel, you know, you can already immediately tell that this dude is drunk. So I'm beating on his window and I'm like, kill that motor. And he's trying to drive and reverse, and I go pull and open the door and everything else. And I had to bodily pull him out of the vehicle, and then he decided he might try to run. Well, that's not a very good thing to do for an ex-con. I will take you down like a football player. So bottom line is he tried everything he could do that I would not call the cops and all this, that, and the other. Well, but I have three girls in my house, and by then all three of them are on the front porch, you know, and I'm already telling the wife, call 911, blase, blase. So that was my first distraction for tonight speaking. Call Subaru this morning and tell them their lovely little situation. And they said, well, your car's ready. I said, huh? Well, I knew that there was still body damage that had happened in their shop. And I said, did you fix that? And they said, no, we're not going to fix that. Well, they were going to fix it yesterday, but now they're not going to fix it this morning because their little car's been totaled, that type of thing. So I immediately get to about an 8 or 9. Then I go over to work in Huntington, and I'm blessed to be a director of a rehab over there. And I literally had my, I will use a kind word, my backside handed to me by the board. And I was like, okay, this is really not a very good, beautiful Monday morning. I should have been in Hope Court with Marvin when everything had been great, but go figure, we had a vacation. And I just kept realizing that there was going to be something tonight that really needed to be said. And Satan was going to try to kill, steal, rob, pervert, or destroy tonight's message. So I just kept giving it back to God. Just the same thing we as mentors here try to tell our guys, that whether you're 5 minutes out of jail, you're 5 days out of jail, you're 5 months, 5 years, you got to keep looking to this. Okay, God, what are you trying to show me? And he said that I still love you. Wow. Pretty deep, God. I have a 14-year-old little girl that's his half-sister. And They sent me a picture today. Her and her mother went to get their hair cut. And sitting on the corner was a guy with a sign. And the sign just simply said food. Not anything other than four letters, food. My little girl said, Mom, I can't look over there because he's hungry. But Mom, we got to do something. They went to Burger King, bought him a couple cheeseburgers, a little pie, a little soda. We had just got done doing homeless last night, so we had some stuff in the van. And they pulled up, rolled the window down, and handed this food to this gentleman. And this gentleman went across the street to a little grassy area, sat down, and started weeping. Looked in the bag and just started weeping. And I said, that's love. I have a son that's breaking the chains of addiction, anger, violence, dope gang. And I have a 14-year-old little girl that is learning to look past the sign to the person. And immediately God gave me Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have even entertained angels without realizing it. Have you felt judged? We're convicts. You know, we can't get the good job. Sister got a good job. GM, whew, praise the Lord. But some of us can't even find a job at Burger King or Taco Bell. And God said, Donnie, I want you to speak on Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Some of us are struggling right now. 15 days clean. Some have had surgeries or are preparing for surgeries. And they know pain pills will be involved. That's a straight gateway to hell for me. I've nursed a bone-on-bone wrist for 2 years now because I'm afraid of the surgery. I know the doctor told me you will have to have pain pills unless you are tough. I said, I'm a baby. But then I thought to myself, am I tough mentally? If I'm this way with Christ, I could probably do it without pain pills. But my mindset had to change. I've been sober 13 years, but Satan knows how to come in and get me physically. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right, for the glory of the Lord. For His glory. For His glory. Is our life harder now because we have a convict status on us? Absolutely. Absolutely. But does it dictate our life? Absolutely not. My brother just said going on Monday nights, dude, they flew me to California to speak in prisons that I was in and flew me back and paid my way. And gave me something called an honorarium. I said, I ain't never been honorable in my life, but send the money. But where's he going to use you? Where is he going to use you? Our mess that we've been tailed in our life is really a message. Where are you putting the love instead of the poor me, until we pour us another drink? Are we on our knees saying, thank you for saving us? Yes. Are we acknowledging every single day that, yes, we got a past, but you know what? It's a past. It doesn't dictate our future. It's not an anchor. We're in the boat. We're in the boat. The seas are going to be tough sometimes. The storm's going to rage. But there's Jesus is walking out on the water, and we get our eyes on him and go, oh, glory, let's start going. Then we start walking and go, oh, my gosh, I can't do this, dude. The waves are too hard on me. Parole wants me to do this. Probation wants me to do this. My ex won't let me do this. My dog got kicked. And we take our eyes off of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we sink. And we cry out, oh, Lord, save me. Oh, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reaches out. But have you learned to say help? Or are you just letting it rent space in your head? Kicking over the gears if I can't. This is hard. I was standing in a church service a couple weekends ago on a Friday night. And a guy I was standing there, we were praying for, he said, man, I'm really struggling. This is hard. And I looked at him and I said, praise God. He's like, what? And I go, because the harder it gets, the more you're acknowledging the King of Kings. Because if it was easy, everybody would do it. But see, narrow is the gate. And wide is the pasture, but narrow is the gate. Put your eyes back on the King of Kings instead of ourself. God's mercy is everlasting. It's forever. Sometimes, however, us as Christians become convinced that divine forgiveness has limits. No, it don't. No, it don't. God said, someone asked God, I'm not sure who, what, where, but hey, how many times I got to forgive this guy? 7 times? And God said, what? No, 70 times 7. Wow. I'm holding a grudge at this person because whatever your thing is, dude, they ain't going to heaven for you. You got to get this right. God said forgive in order to be what? Forgiven. Uh-oh. Well, man, did you? No, stop. Don't put the word of God in your context. Put the word of God in the context Jesus wrote it and had it inspired and printed. Love thy neighbor. This usually happens when the person has repeatedly confessed a sin but finds himself returning to that habit anyway. You know how many times I said I ain't going to do it no more, and I did it more times than I didn't? I just went right back to it. I just kept going right back to it. Make it 15 days. I was going to party. Went right back to it. Why are you going to go back to something you know that's going to kill you forever? Why you want to go back to that? I'm just curious. I really am. We have problems. But don't you think God knew that? God knows it. Satan whispers to us that surely the Lord is weary of listening to your cycle of sin and your admission. Oh, God, I don't want to hear me repent anymore. That's Satan's lies. If you fall, get your back up, butt up and wipe off your butt and move back forward to the cross with repentance. You will fail. Oh, I'm just looking at a little porn now. I'm not looking at the whole page. I'm just going to drink a little bit this time. I swear this is it. Just going to have a little bit, dude. It isn't going to hurt nothing. Better yet, when we come clean and we're cleaning out our drawers, this one blew my mind, dude. I was cleaning out my sock drawer. And, dude, Lord and behold, there were some pain pills in there. Kelly! I hollered my wife's name. Come here! I didn't even want to touch them, dude. I didn't even want to touch them. But I came accountable to him. And she said, oh, my gosh. And both of us started going through the sock drawer to make sure there was nothing else in my sock drawer, dude. I wanted to empty it out and scrape everything out and pound it and pray over it and all that. But you never know when it's going to pop up. I put on a sports coat one time. Check this one out. There was a blunt in the pocket. A sports coat. I don't wear no sports coat. You ever see me wear a sports coat? I'm dead. Okay? But I put on a sports coat because I was going to a chaplaincy banquet and I had to look cool like some of these guys, you know. There was a blunt in the pocket. Are you kidding me? We don't know where we put stuff. I was afraid to clean out my garage, so I hired it out. I didn't want to know what was in that garage. That was my party central. I don't know what could have been out there. So don't put yourself out there. Don't do it. Or go out two by two. I don't send none of my boys anywhere from my disciple house by themselves. I just don't do it. They don't get to do it. Two by two. Because if something happens, dude, you can pull that. Hey, help me. But as always, the enemy is telling you lies. That's his job. I tell people like this, dude. You're either employed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or you're employed by Satan. There's no middle ground. You either get up every morning and say, God, I'm yours. I work for you today. And you go to work for an eternity reward. I don't make no money down here on earth to be bragging about. And I'm cool with that because my retirement plan's out of this world. But I don't get up and say, Satan, what do you got for me today? Don't do it. The truth is that a believer cannot sin his way out of God's grace. No matter how many times he confesses the same wrongdoing, you aren't going to sin your way out of God's grace. You're not. But you got to acknowledge it. Don't take me wrong. Don't take me wrong. You could fall, but you better get back up and repent and move forward. You got to. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross paid our past, present, and future sin debt. He did it, dude. He did it 2,000 plus years ago for me and you. And not only me and you here, past, today, and the tomorrow people as well. This means that no matter how great our offense or how often we sin, God's grace covers every transgression. Our Heavenly Father forgives us as often as necessary. I never thought I'd be a chaplain. I murdered people. Somebody asked me one time, how many people you kill? I said, I don't know. I never went back and asked. Shoot them up, bang, bang, and go. Never asked. You may think that I'm promoting grace as a license to sin, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm letting you understand that that's a normal, everyday occurrence. We have a choice. We can do what's right, or we can do what's wrong. It can happen right here. For me, I'll be straight up, blunt, honest. Summertime sucked for me for a long time because I think women in shorts with painted toes were beautiful. I really did. But see, I came clear to that, and I told my wife. I said, babe, I got to walk like this. And you know what? My wife paints her toes for me. My wife paints her toes for me. I no longer lust at somebody else's wife or daughter. I have three girls. Three girls. And I'm brutally honest with you, man. Was it hard? Absolutely. But see, that thought will lead to another thought. And another thought, unless caught captive, will lead to another thought, and pretty soon you've worked your way right up to the ladder of impure thoughts. The Lord's mercy is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Meaning, His forgiveness is infinite, but that does not mean we can get away with sin. As a loving Father, God disciplines His children. God will discipline us. He wants us to learn from our mistakes and return to the path of righteousness. Learn from them. We're over there on Mondays, Marvin and I, and Kayvon's not here in Lyle, but that's neither here nor there right now. But, dude, you know, we sit back there now, and I do. I don't know. I don't think Marvin does because he's such a good guy. But I'm like, shut up. Shh, shh, quit saying anything else. Shh, Do you realize how many times Miss Davis will say, "Hey, this ain't my first rodeo," and that's the judge about to sentence your butt up to a prison because you keep talking. The ones that get up there to the microphone and say, "Hey, I made a mistake. I did this. I need help." Guess what? She'll forgive you 70 times 7. Guarantee it. The ones that get up there and won't shut up, you probably ain't got it figured out yet. And she will probably send you to the little cell block at 415 South Calhoun Street. We understand that's the county jail address. God desires that each of his children grow in righteousness and reflect the nature of his son, Jesus Christ. We got to act like Jesus and reflect Jesus. I get up in the morning, dude, and I used to have to shave looking at the roof. Or I'd be like my son and never shaved because I was afraid to look in the mirror. I love him. But the point is, I was too ashamed to look into the eyes of Jesus. Now, I look in there every morning and say, "Dude, let's do this." Because, see, we resemble Jesus. We're made in his image. So when you're standing there in the morning, have some one-on-one conversation with yourself in the mirror. You are beautiful. You are uniquely made. You do have hope. You do have grace. You do have forgiveness. You do have mercy. Believe it. That's what Jesus is telling you. Believe it. Sometimes we will make mistakes and fall into sinful patterns from which we must be restored. I'm just going to look at a little bit. I'm just going to go to the swimsuit edition for a while. And for us dudes, we know what I'm talking about. We didn't go to the One Piece. We're going to see who made the cover of the Sports Illustrated. And then next thing we know, I wonder if she made Playboy. She must have made Hustler. You know what I mean. We'll just dig ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper. Acknowledge it. Rebuke it. And move on. Our Father is pleased to draw us back into a right relationship because his grace is infinite. It's forever. But do you believe that? No sin will ever be greater or more frequent than his capacity to forgive. Let me say that one more time. No sin will ever be greater, nothing you ever do, nothing, or as many times as you do it, frequent, than his capacity to forgive you. Ask God for forgiveness. Let him give you the forgiveness that only he can do. Oh, we got all night, man. I got a couple more here. I got 12 pages. You ready? I've only been through one. I'm going to read this little poem. And if it makes sense to you, you let it make sense to you. I destroy homes, tear families apart, take your children, and that's just the start. I'm more costly than diamonds, more costly than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. And if you need me, remember, I'm easily found. I live all around you in schools and in town. I live with the rich. I live with the poor. I live down the street or maybe next door. My power is awesome. Try me. You'll see. But if you do, you may never break free. Just try me once. I might let you go. But try me twice and I'll own your soul. When I possess you, you'll steal and you'll lie. You'll do what you have to just to get high. The crimes you'll commit for my narcotic charms will be worth the pleasure you'll feel in your arms. You'll lie to your mother and you'll steal from your dad. When you see their tears, you should feel sad. But you'll forget your morals and how you were raised. I'll be your conscience. I'll teach you my ways. I take kids from parents and parents from kids. I turn people from God, separate them from friends. I'll take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I'll be with you always. I'll be right by your side. You'll give up everything, your family, your home, your friends, your money, and then you'll be all alone. I'll take and I'll take till you have nothing more to give. When I'm finished with you, you'll be lucky to live. If you try me, be warned, this is no game. If given the chance, I'll drive you insane. I'll ravish your body, I'll control your mind. I'll own you completely. Your soul will be mine. The nightmares I'll give you while lying in bed, the voices you'll hear from inside of your head, the sweats, the shakes, the visions you'll see, I want you to know these are all gifts from me. But then it's too late, and you'll know in your heart that you are mine, and we shall not part. You'll regret that you tried me. Hey, they always do. But you came to me, not I to you. You knew this would happen. Many times you were told, but you challenged my power and chose to be bold. You could have said no and just walked away. If you could live that day over, now what would you say? I'll be your master. You will be my slave. I'll even go with you when you go to your grave. Now that you have met me, what will you do? Will you try me or not? It's all up to you. I can bring you more misery than words can tell. Come take my hand. Let me lead you to hell. Signed, drugs. Signed, drugs. You put in there what you're signing it with. Hurts, habits, hang-ups. Who signed yours when you didn't do the right thing? And we'll wrap it up with this. I counted, there's 21 men in here, so I knew God had gave me this one. But there's 8 young ladies, so I will kind of make it a co-ed discussion here. Here's what I want you guys and ladies to remember when we walk out of here. 5 characteristics of a godly man or woman. Amen? Number 1, men, step up. Step up. Lead, initiate, be a man of action, assume it is your job and your moment. Hate apathy, which means lack of interest, concern, emotion, or passion. Hate that. Reject passivity, which means being inactive or uninvolved or unassertive. Scriptural, Ezekiel 22:30. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so I would not destroy it. But I found no one. Step up. Number 2, speak out. And that goes for all of us. We need to speak out when we see injustice that's happened. We need to speak up. If we hear that neighbor being beat, speak up. You know something happening out there in your neighborhood, speak up. If we are the voice of truth, we're going to have a lot less kids being beat on, a lot less women being sexually abused. It's our job. We have the characteristics of Jesus Christ. We need to step up and speak out. Silence is, in the midst of a sin is a sin. Be courageous. Fear God, not man. Speak the truth in love. And the verses are Proverbs 27:5-6. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Wow. Proverbs 31:8-9. Open your mouth for the mute. Open your mouth for that neighbor kid or that woman that's getting beat. For the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. That's our responsibility, family. All of us. Number 3, stand strong. We're leading a nation. We're leading a community. We're leading a recidivism rate that we don't have to keep sending them back. Faith-based is the way to go. Faith-based is the only way to go. If it isn't built on the truth and the rock of Jesus Christ, it will fall. It will fall. We have to be men to stand strong, and women. Don't give in when you are challenged, attacked, or criticized. I was attacked, challenged, and criticized in the last 24 hours really heavily, but I didn't back down. 1 Corinthians 15:5-8. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to have challenges. Look at them disciples, dude. He didn't go down and pick up the ones that sat on the front pew. He picked up the bad of the bad. He picked up the bad and the bad. One dude chopped off some dude's ear that was going to beat up his dude. And God said, whoa, whoa, Peter, don't do that. He will use us. Moses killed his buddy, dude, that was, or killed the dude that was beating on his buddy. He hid out on the mountain for 40 years. Don't look at me, Moses. Some of them stuttered. Some of them had speech impediments and said, I can't do this. And God used them. Keep using them, baby. Keep using them. Stay humble. Be vigilant against pride. Get the log out of your eye. Don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself less. Psalm 141:5. Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it, for still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. Okay, number 5. Y'all tired of me yet? Suck it up, buttercup. Oh, delete that part, would you? Number 5. Serve the king. We're used to serving Satan. All of us in this room, serve the king. I would not know what I would do without my beautiful wife praying for me. I really wouldn't. So wives, pray for your men. And pray for your future men. My wife saved my life. Seek first his kingdom, his glory, and his righteousness. Hope in the eternal. Live for a greater reward. Matthew 6:31. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man, did you get that part? Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If it's good enough for Jesus, ain't it good enough for you? Good enough for me. Amen?